Yesterday had the opportunity to go and be a part of praying for the firemen and praying for a new fire truck that's been commissioned here in Roblin, and that was a privilege to do that. And you think about the courage and how blessed we are. We really, really are. Lord, open up this word to us today. It may be powerful as your Spirit applies it, and help us to be people of faith and courage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we have it. First of all, in your bulletins, I think there's a fill out there. If you wish to use that, it'll help you make some tracks and remember what we're talking about here. Moses had courageous parents. Moses had courageous parents. And we didn't get reading the scripture. Meant to do that earlier, but we haven't done that. But let me read a little bit of the scripture here for you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 is where we're going to reside for a while. Verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses had courageous parents. Let me read the context from Exodus. Now a man from the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds of the bank of the Nile. Faith is the foundation for courage. Second of all, it is by faith we see the unseen. It's by faith that we see the unseen. By faith, Moses parents. They saw what no one else could see. And they stepped out. It's a lonely place when you step out and you see what no one else can see. It was a lonely place for Noah when he stepped out and no one else could see what he saw. It was a lonely place for Abraham when he took that step of courageous faith to go and follow the Lord. And he didn't know what was in front of him. He was placing his faith in God. It was a step of faith for Mary, the mother of Jesus. She saw what no one else could see. They could see the potential when no one else could. They could see the greatness of God when no one else would. And they stepped out in faith when others misunderstood. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And by the way, this is a crucial message, and it's really the first of three parts. I'm going to preach the first today, and then Pastor Dusty's going to preach for the next 2 weeks, and then I'll be preaching 2 weeks after that on the 14th and 21st. And we'll be talking about faith. This is a crucial topic because the Bible says, without faith, you can't please God. And you need to know who you're going to please. If you're working in a workplace, you know that you better please the manager, not the coworker beside you. You better please the boss because they have the ability to hire and fire, to keep or send you away. And we need to know who to please. And the Bible says we cannot please God without faith. They could see what no one else could. They saw the greatness of God when no one else would. And they stepped out in faith. And there's going to be people. And they're going to say things like, you know, well, I don't mean to be the devil's advocate. One person said the devil does not need an advocate. They're going to say things like, what's the use? Because they don't see. They don't see what you see. What's the use? Hopelessness. And faith says that it's not over. People will say, you can't do it. And faith says you can do it with God's strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, is what the Apostle Paul said. Some will say it won't work. Faith says nothing is impossible. Some will say it's never been done that way before. It's never been done that way before. And faith says you can go where no man has ever gone before. A few will find the courage to act. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. Thirdly, courage overcomes fear. Courage overcomes fear. And if you look at our passage, it tells us that they were not afraid of the king's edict. His parents, they stepped out in faith. There was a courage here because they were not afraid of the king's edict. So if you think about the pharaohs of Egypt, there was a lot to be afraid of. And this is not to say that there's nothing to be afraid of. It's saying that we need to understand who our God is. When Matthew tells us, don't worry about anything, it's not saying there's nothing to worry about. Does anybody have something to worry about? Anybody ever been afraid? Anybody ever been afraid to send your children out into the world that we live in? Absolutely. But we place our faith, it takes courage to go beyond those fears that exist and give ourselves to God. Pharaoh was to be feared. Then Pharaoh, it says in Exodus 1:22, he gave this order to all the people. Here's how powerful that the Pharaoh was. Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. That's how powerful he was. Throw every boy into the river. And so it's not the absence of earthly fear. It's the presence. It's the presence of heavenly certainty. It's us putting our faith and knowing the rock, the deliverer, the fortress whom we stand, that we sung about this morning. They weren't afraid of the king's edict. So she placed the child in a basket, put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And so Moses, he would go into the Nile afterwards, but on God's terms, not on Pharaoh's terms. Courage is knowing that God is in charge. And I just want to say this. It's a wonderful gift to have courageous parents. Some of you have not had courageous parents when it comes to faith. They have not maybe taken that step to know God. And I just want to say to you, you can be the one to break that cycle. I just want to say that we need our children to see courage. Our courage will be the very things that helps them go to school and stand up and be counted. Our courage and our willingness to step out will be the things that will fortify our kids to walk into a world and not settle for this status quo, sort of live life now and die later kind of mentality like nothing else exists. When they see our faith, when they see our courage, and not just parents, as leaders here, as we walk with courage, it will be powerful to them and it will help them to succeed in life. Can you see that? It will help them to succeed in life. Courage overcomes fear. I was fortunate to have parents who were courageous. They stepped out and did some things. My father did not have some of the education that we see. And by the way, I think it's so neat. If you give, what is it, the quote, if you give a man a fish, you can feed him for a day, but if you teach him to fish, you can, right? And so they're teaching people how to fish. My father stepped out and had courage. He stepped out and married my mom. My mom lived 2 hours, almost 2.5 hours north of here. You know, if you think about the context of that, here we are in Roblin. One of the gentlemen that he took from here when he was going up to date my mom, when they got to Calidar, he had never been north of 7. Okay? You know, BC, back of Cloyne. He had never been north of 7. And so if you think of the time of stepping out in courage. But I am so glad that I had a mom and dad who infused courage into us. And if you don't think so, how many know my brother Andy? You know, I've talked about this before, but really, at Silver Lake Camp, we talked about, you know, the bus trip. There's a sign up at the welcome wall. We're going to be going to Silver Lake Camp at the beginning of their family camp. Who's the worship leader at Silver Lake Camp? It's Andy McCutcheon. It's my brother. How many knew Andy when he was younger? He was timid. He was shy. He says the reason he never said anything is because I would never let him get a word in edgewise, because I was a mouthpiece from day one. I'll tell you what. He had a timidity, and, you know, I was sort of all out there on my own bus and all that kind of stuff. When I first went down east and I saw him there at the Yarmouth Wesleyan Church in front of 500 people, and he sat down to the piano, and he had that worship team stand. And I'll tell you what, he led that place. When I saw him down at the 1,200 attendance church in Milton, Pennsylvania, I thought, Mom and Dad, you instilled courage into us. And he went on to Trinity Wesleyan, ministered down there, and now is pastoring down in Shokan, New York. They infused courage. And do we have any idea of the power of courage, the power of faith that if we don't have it, we can't please God. And if we don't have it, how will we fortify our kids for life? How absolutely vital. And the interesting thing about courage is it doesn't stay the same. Courage begets courage. Courage grows. Isn't it interesting? You know, when you have one person who has a little bit of courage, it sort of rallies the troops. And other people get a little bit of courage. And I think that's why the Bible says when Jesus said to his disciples, the things you see me do, you will see even greater things than these. Why? Because he blazed the trail of courage to come into this world. And therefore, he sends us out and the courage grows. Isn't that the story of David? When he goes, the children, as they call them, of Israel, the Hebrew people, this army, every time this giant of a man named Goliath would come and taunt them in the name of his God, they would run, not just cower. It says they would run away. And along comes David, not even old enough to join the forces. And he had the guts, the courage to step out and say, how dare he defy the name of the living God? He had the courage to step out and say, how can we let the name of our God be taken and trampled upon? And their courage, he saved a nation and it gave them courage. He had courage when Saul had none, but when it rallied everyone, they were able to move forward. You see, courage, it overcomes. It overcomes fear. And are you willing to be a courageous parent? Okay, now think about this. Are you willing to be a courageous parent, a courageous leader? Not afraid, it says, to stand against the king's edict. Willing to step out and take a risk. Willing to stand up for what is right, even when everyone else says it's wrong. Courageous enough to see what no one else can see. Now, I want to do something. I did it in the first service, and I think I'll do it again. Now, this is not the end of the service. Not yet. Okay, so just hang on for a little bit. But if you're a parent here today, and this isn't a pressure, don't make it a pressure thing, but if you're a parent here today, and it is your determination to say, God, I want to be a courageous parent for my kids in my community. I want to exercise the muscle of faith. And I don't know what that means, but that's what I want to do. If you're willing to do that, could you stand and stretch? Could you do that? Stand right where you are. Stand right where you are. And say, I want to be a courageous parent. Now I'm going to just say to everyone, if you're here today and you're not maybe a parent, but you're saying, I want God to make me, I want to take that step and say, God, I want to be courageous. I want to be able to walk into this world and be courageous for you. Why don't you join them and stand? Why don't you do that? Absolutely. Look around, because courage begets courage. And when you walk, what does it say? A three-strand cord, who can break? There's something powerful. When we stand up, isn't that the way it is in school when you find out that one of your the students you're there with, you find out they love God too. And it just somehow fortifies us, right? And it gives us a little bit of an ability maybe to just take a step, one step that we wouldn't have taken before. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Woo! A place of courage. Look at that. That is awesome. Secondly, we need to understand that Moses exercised the courage of conviction. When you hold a strong belief, when you're convinced, when you walk with certainty, it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage because it is going to be shaken and it is going to be tested. It says, now when Moses, verse 24, when he had grown up, he refused. The same spirit of courage that was in his mom and dad, it resided in Moses. And so it says, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And as we said, courage begets courage. When he had grown up, faith needs to grow up. And the Bible says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. What does it mean? It may start here, but it needs to grow. It needs to grow. He was the son of opulence, power only limited by your imagination. Imagine being part of the family that had the power to say, throw your babies in the river and pull it off. A coveted position for some. But he had courage to stand on conviction and say no. You see, courage, it does the right thing, even when it hurts. The cost, it's the cost. He refused to be known, and it hurt. You know, sometimes when we look at Scripture, we gloss over it so quickly, and as I was looking at this, this hurt. This was hard. We sometimes see our heroes of faith, and we go, well, yeah, but that was them. That was the Apostle Paul. He was so disciplined all the time. Anyway, how could anybody else be like him? Moses, this hurt. He refused to take what could have rightfully been his. He refused to walk in the comfort that he had been offered. He rejected the injustice. It was the courage to reject a corrupt system. I think of Tom and Cheryl. I think of it being a good day to be here. And just think of the courage to reject injustice and to stand up and do something. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. The courage that it takes. And it takes courage to say no, and it takes courage to say yes. And I just want you to think with me. Sometimes we say, well, to say no is to say yes. But I think there's a little bit of a no man's land in there, and we say no oftentimes, and we don't say the yes. And we need to make the shift from no, I'm not going to follow that status quo. I'm not going to take the drink. I'm not going to follow the crowd. But we don't say the yes. And the reason we have to say the yes to God is because sometimes we say the no, and we get a little puffed up and say, well, look at my power, look at my ability. I've got the self-determination to be able to do it. And we fall short of what the Word said. It is by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power to save myself. It was done on the cross for me. And so it takes courage to say no. It takes courage to say yes. It takes courage to be transformed. It does, doesn't it? It's easy to believe for others, and hard to believe for ourselves sometimes, because we know ourselves better than anyone else. You've lived with yourself more. You have listened to your voice more than anyone else from the time, the earliest remembrances. What have you said to yourself? And what has the enemy spoken to your mind? And what kind of rhetoric do you speak into your life that robs us of our courage, that robs us of our faith? Do we have the courage to say, God, no more? I refuse to stay in that addiction. And I'm going to take that first step, whatever that first step. I don't know what your Egypt is, but I refuse. I'm not going to stay there anymore. I'm not even sure, God, what that means this morning. I'm not going to stay. I refuse to stay there and take the courage to be transformed, to confront the issues of life, to look that storm in the face and say, I will not be a victim, but I will walk and stand on the rock, which is God. And when we do that, it gets pretty scary because we don't always know what the next thing is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, says Proverbs. Lean not on your own understanding, and He will direct your path. The funny thing about paths are, it's hard to see around the corner. It's almost like you're going with a car on the headlights, and until you make the turn, that's when it illuminates. And so often, beforehand, we don't see. That's why courage, it takes courage. If we saw, and if we could see the whole realm of things, how much courage would it take? We see the ending and say, oh, isn't that great? But we can't see it until we take the steps of courage. And then thirdly, courage will be tested. It'll be tested. Here the rest. It says, he, being Moses, verse 25 of 11, Hebrews, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking forward. He looked forward. He had an eternal glance. He was going long. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Boy, that sounds like somebody we know. That sounds like his parents. That's who that sounds like. That's what Paul said to Timothy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which I first saw in your grandmother. He had that spirit of faith that was planted, and we can plant that faith in our kids. It said he was not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Why don't you get that video ready? It's 30 seconds long, 30-second clip, Chris. I don't want us to think for 1 minute this was easy, because he gave up a lot. And where he went did not look that promising. But God had something pretty cool for him. Go ahead and just run that for us.
The younger you are, the quicker I pounce. And the older you get, the more tricks I've got. The more naive you stay, the easier I ensnare. And the wiser you are, the more sly I become. The stronger you get, the more I attack. I am sin.
When it comes to temptation, there's a lure that draws us away. It lures us towards sin. There was the pleasures of Egypt. I looked up some of the ancient Egypt, and the very first thing that I came across was their god Kadesh, I'll call him, because I don't know the pronunciation. He was an Egyptian goddess of sacred ecstasy and sexual pleasure, riding naked on the back of a lion and holding up symbols of eroticism and fertility to her companions. There was the pleasures of Egypt. There were the treasures of Egypt. Look at the tombs, the pyramids that were built, and the opulence when they died and actually took to death the servants with them. And we think about all of that. But there's a double whammy here, because not only is there a temptation towards sin, there's a temptation away from righteousness, being right with God. There's a temptation to say, I can compromise. It doesn't really matter. What I do now is not going to matter tomorrow. I'm not really accountable. This is serious stuff, isn't it? He said he would be mistreated. It said there would be disgrace. It said there would be the king's anger. And in spite of the temptation to avoid all of that, he heard the call of the reward. He heard the call. He recognized God's people. He said, I'm not going to follow this. I'm going to align myself with God's people. And they were in a bad way. It wasn't really popular to be with that particular crowd. And sometimes we're going to have to align ourselves with a crowd that they may not be in the majority. They may be on that narrow path that leads to life. But let's not kid ourselves. Often somebody will say, that's normal. Yeah, everybody's doing it. That's normal. No. It's common. It's not normal. There are sexual perversions in our society that we're made to believe are normal. They are perversions, and they may be common because a lot of people do them, but they're not normal. Okay? Are you getting the distinction here? The Bible calls us to the normalcy of the creation that He planned for us to be. Okay? That's what He calls us to. He was looking ahead for His reward. What it was, right standing before God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He decided pleasing God was more important than pleasing Pharaoh. He looked disgrace in the face and said no. He gives us a whole different perspective on suffering. We need to go long. We need to go long. He knew something. He saw something that others couldn't see that was greater than the treasures of Egypt. He regarded disgrace. So it has to do with considering it. It has to do with taking it into account. Sort of like the word that Paul used in Romans when he said, I consider the suffering, not to be compared with the reward. And so he considered it. He regarded disgrace and he said, I will stand here and I will not stand on the pedestal of assumed, presumed success that lasts for a moment. I will stand here, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and He will lift you up. And it takes courage. It takes courage to do that, doesn't it? And this is the key to leadership. It says in verse 27, He saw what no one else could see. That's the key to leadership. It's seeing what no one else can see. You're the leader in your home. How often can you see what your children cannot see? It takes leadership to see what no one else can see, right? And to be able to stand as a leader. Courage takes courage. Courage takes courage. The courage to say, I'm going to go in this direction, or I'm not going to go in that direction. The eternal perspective, no matter how pleasurable it really is. Let's stand together. And this time we are close to dismissal. So I've got a couple of questions for us today. First of all, it is to leaders, and then maybe more specifically, parents, because of the context. I am encouraged to see you stand earlier. And it's your will to be a courageous parent. Maybe you're not a parent yet, but it's your desire to walk in courage before the world and to stand in the convictions of what God has given to you, to be a parent of faith, and to be like Moses, to refuse the short term for the long term. It may mean confronting those addictions that maybe only you know about. It may mean confronting those worldly mindsets that are just nipping at your heels all the time. And only you know that you're sort of this close. You're just on the tipping point of just saying, you know what? It's easier to go this way. It was easier for Moses to stay. Don't kid yourself. He entered into this disgrace world. He entered into, and on the backside of that Midianite mountain looking after sheep, after what he had grown up with, you got to know that he was asking some questions. Wow, how did I get here? But he couldn't see the end. And that's what's so amazing about courage. Think about what's on the other side of courage. Think about when you take that step through the door and it illuminates for you and you begin, maybe not right away, and he didn't right away. It took 40 years before God had prepared him in that wilderness as a shepherd to the humility where God would use him. But you take that step through the door and it's amazing what God does. And I so wish I'd had a chance to talk to this person, and I'm going to confess to them now that I used them in the first service, so you can just duck your head, but we love you. Now, and years ago, no, I want you to hear. Years ago, and she had a battle going on in her heart. She had some directions in life that were pretty big stuff. And she began just to say, I'm struggling. This seems to be the way. This seems to be the path for me. And she said, but I don't know. Should I marry? Should I? And she struggled with that thing. And she took a step of courage. And in taking that step, now think about it, young ladies and those who are not younger. When you take that step, you're ready to enter into that beautiful world of being with Prince Charming, whoever that is. And she made a decision of courage to say, this isn't the way. This isn't where I'm supposed to go. And she had pressure to go that way. She was sort of, by some, this is the way. This is the way to go. And she took courage. And aren't you glad she did? Because there was this guy. Who was it? His name? What an odd name! He comes in and he arrives here, and we call him Pastor Dusty. And lo and behold, you know, Dusty was in the grocery store one day, and he heard two ladies, literally heard two ladies talking, saying, "Do you know that the pastor, youth pastor at Roblin, ran away with one of the youth, and they got married?" Well, it wasn't exactly one of the youth. She was older in his age, but aren't you glad that had the courage to say no? And aren't you glad she had the courage to say yes? Aren't you glad about that? Seriously, aren't you glad about that? But see, that's the point. There's someone here that you need to take a step of courage. And you may not see the results right away, and you didn't, did you? But you wait on God. Like Moses, it didn't happen overnight, and it wasn't easy. It hurt. And there were ramifications. Difficult. I mean, he was ostracized. He was kicked out of that whole place that was the familiar comfort zone of his life. And now he was a stranger in a foreign land. But God brought him back. And courage is saying, God will bring me back. The reason I have tears, and I really need to close, I know, it's because there's somebody here that step of courage will mean everything to the next chapter in your life. And the blessing of God And if somehow God could open our eyes and give us a fresh view of eternity, give us a grand plan of courage to be able to say we can see higher and further beyond the status quo, beyond the pull you down to the lowest common denominator of life. We're not pressured to go very high morally in this society. We talk about education and bettering ourselves, and we are plummeting. Listen, I'm not being an old fuddy-duddy. We are plummeting into a immoral void, and God's calling us out of it, young person. God's calling us out of it, dad. He's calling us out of it, mom. He wants us to walk with conviction. With our heads bowed, I just want to ask the question, is there someone here today that would just, before God and as I look on, they would just say, I've lacked courage. My faith has wavered. I face some things right now, some storms, some temptations, some things in my life, and I just feel like I'm on a balance scale and it could tip either way. And I'm ready to give myself over to courage. I need prayer. Is there anyone like that? I need prayer. Way to go. Man, someone just threw their hand up. That's a hand of faith right there. I want to talk to moms and dads because of the context of our scripture. You are a mom and dad here, and maybe you can say, you know what? I didn't really have the courage to stand. Maybe you stood, but you still didn't have the courage. And you would say, I want to be a mom or dad of courage. I want to be a mom or dad of faith. And I can't even say up here as the pastor, I don't know what your Egypt is, but there may be an Egypt that you need to refuse and deny it and put it away and make a new direction and turn to a new thing in your life that would blow your mind if you could conceive what God has for those who love Him. No mind can conceive. And is there some parent like that? You just say, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to be a parent of courage, but I struggle. I'm going to pray to close us off. There may be someone here. You need to take a step of courage today. We have a long tradition of being able to open up what we may call the altars to give people a chance to pray and do business with God. And it may be that you need to take this kind of step. It's not forced on anyone, but it may be that God is calling you to take a step of faith and come and lay this thing, as it were, as the word sort of point, lay it on the altar of God and say, I can't do this. But you'll have the courage to step out today. God, would you give courage to that person, those that may need to just step out today? Just a simple act of faith. But God, the enemy is going to just hold them in some of the ensnarement. Would you release them? And God, I ask that all the hands that were raised that represents a hand of faith say, I want to be a person of courage. I want to be a person of faith. But there's obstacles, there's storms, there's circumstances that fall in on me. And God, I ask that you would just help us to take that first step. The enemy wants us to look 10 steps ahead and overwhelm, but you call us to yoke with you, to co-labor and walk with your strength. And if there's someone that needs to take a specific step of faith here and lay this thing before you, would you help them to do that right now? We're just going to pause before the Lord. If you need to come, come right now. We're going to close in a moment. Now's the time. Just come and say, God, I need to do this. I'm doing it. Anybody else? Just do it. Just a step of courage. It's not for me. I'm not going to count it. It's not for me. Anyone else? Lord, send us from this place with a fresh God determination, not in our own self ability. Our own self-discipline. We've tried that, and we see our society, and we see our own lives. God, would you give us a fresh infusion of a courage that's based on you, our God, the rock on which we stand, that causes us to be afraid of nothing else, because we have the eternal perspective. We're going long. Raise up mom and dads of faith. Raise up young people who will stand for you and be all that you've called them to be. We'll give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think we should give the Lord a hand and just say, we're walking in courage. Amen. We invite you to come up and pray with some of these. You are dismissed. Remember that next week, 9:30 Sunday School, 10:30 service, okay? Full children's program this summer. Bring your kids. Some come up and pray with these who are here, all right?